handbag or they're actually married. But the point was, what's this about Jack is in the audience? The great old Jack, he does everyone? What's he implying, that Jack did Jessica and Ken Kate? I thought that was really revolting, frankly. But look, that's not the issue. The issue was much broader than that. The United States Motion Picture Production Code of 1930 lasted until 67, Jason. And guess what? We saw epics like Ben-Hur that made a fortune. It did not inhibit the money-making of movies, did it? To have a decent moral code, they made a fortune with moral movies.
Absolutely. You see, Michael, this is why I don't know, whatever I can say to encourage you.
No, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I think it's time our government did something for the people. And that is get straight with Hollywood. Get them under control. We can't take it anymore. Thanks, Jason. I should run along. 1-800-449-8255. Just a side note before I take a break. I'm way late. I have told you that I've been working with people in Hollywood on my life story, and I was. But at this time, I'm not. And I'll tell you why when I come back.
Hi, this is Greg Zappa, president of Nevada State Corporate Network. For over 7 years now, I've been telling you how important it is to get incorporated and build business credit. Thanks to you, Nevada State Corporate Network is now one of the nation's largest incorporating firms. But some of you are still putting off getting started. So let me introduce the person that motivates me to get things done, my wife and business partner, Susan Zappa.
Hi, everyone. This is something important I wanted to talk to you about. Right now, the U.S. is in the middle of a severe consumer credit crisis. That's why it's time for you to build business credit now. If you have a business, business credit can help you get vehicles, equipment, real estate, and separate business credit cards. With our business credit program, you can get hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business credit now, regardless of your personal credit. Call 877-330-0155. Get instant business credit now. 877-330-0155.
Great job, Susan. And remember, when you call, ask for the Zapper Credit Special at 877-330-0155.
You mean the Susan Zapper Credit Special.
Okay, whatever.
Call Michael now at 1-800-449-8255. Savage.
If you're a homeowner and you're in foreclosure or about to be, listen carefully. National Homeowners Financial can help you save your home from foreclosure and the harassing calls and help you pay down some debt. We're not real estate agents or mortgage brokers. We're investors that help good people like you that are in serious financial trouble. We've helped thousands of people save their homes from foreclosure, and we can help you. To qualify, you must have at least 25% equity in your home.
Call this number right now for free information. 800-932-4082. 800-932-4082.
Remember, to save your home from foreclosure, you must have at least 25% equity in your home. There are no upfront fees, so call 24 hours a day for free confidential information.
Here's the number. 800-932-4082. 800-932-4082. That's 800-932-4082.
Can you imagine a world without children? A world without their smiles or their laughter? A world where children don't play or sing or dream? Or imagine.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we can't imagine a world without children. That's why we're working every day to find cures for diseases that strike down children everywhere. Diseases like cancer, pediatric AIDS, and sickle cell. And we won't stop until every child is cured and every disease is defeated. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To learn how you can help, call 1-800-931-0800 or log on to our website, stjude.org.
Can you wait 3 to 5 extra days to get the guaranteed lowest prices in the country on new American cars? Max Motors has the guaranteed best prices in the nation on all Cadillacs, Chevrolets, Dodge, Pontiacs, Buicks, Jeep, Chrysler, and Fords. Come look at our huge new car inventory online at max71.com. Max Motors is centrally located in Butler, Missouri for convenient nationwide distribution. You can have your new American car delivered from their lot right to your doorstep anywhere in the continental United States. At Max Motors, they'll provide maximum selection, maximum trade-in value, maximum discounts, and maximum service. Just listen to their mission statement to make the auto buying process easy, simple, and fun. Remember, Max Motors, where an extra 3 to 5 days in delivery time can give you the guaranteed lowest prices nationwide delivered to your door. Call Max Motors today at 1-888-MAX-8881. That's 1-888-MAX-8881. Go online to max71.com. And remember, even if you don't buy a car from Max Motors, please buy American.
What is the saturation? It's America's most exciting talk show.
I think that the far left is gunning for an actual civil war. And we'll have to wait and see. They don't know when they lose. They don't know when to reach out across the aisle. They're the sorest losers in history. We voted for the crushing of Islamofascism worldwide. And we voted to stop the sewer line running from Hollywood into our homes. That's what we voted for. That's what motivated us. End of story.
Savage.
There was nothing positive coming out of Kerry. Another reason he lost. Everything was Bush's bad, Bush's horrible. If I'm elected, we'll have the right war in the right place at the right time. I don't know where it is, when it is, how it is, but I'll find a war that every Democrat will like. It might be in North Korea. It might be in South Korea. Every word out of his mouth was negative, negative, negative. I would say that my dog, which weighs 6 pounds and is 6 months old, has an IQ equal to about 50% of the Democrat voters.
This is the Savage Nation.
I have to thank my incredible wife, Tammy, and our 4 children, Beckett and Bailey, and Johnny Rose and Miller.
I found that reprehensible last year after the Oscars. I found it to be abusive of children. And consequently, I made a lot of new enemies in Hollywood, and they wanted nothing to do with me, even though they knew who I was. And then, you know, my talent didn't matter to them. All that mattered was my politics. Now, if you look at the Motion Picture Association Code, MPAA, in 1930 through 1967, it's right on target with what I've been telling you, which is that it was the Red Diaper Doper Babies ascent in Hollywood, the Warren Court, that spelled out the death of morality in Hollywood, where the murderer, the pimp, the rapist, the whore, and anything anti-American suddenly became the norm. But if you look at that code, the sanctity of marriage in the home had to be upheld. Do you hear this? References to alleged sex perversion, such as homosexuality and venereal disease, were forbidden. So I am really a product of my time, and frankly of my upbringing, and I'm never going to change. And if you don't like it, you can lump it. You can take it to Obama and see what you can do with it. Or if that's not a high enough authority, why don't you take it to the Reverend Farrakhan and see if he approves of my attitudes. So there it is. I want a new motion picture code put into effect. Something's got to control this generation of people who are making these images. Because not only are they ruining our children's minds, take a look at our children. Not only have they destroyed marriage, take a look at the divorce rate. Not only have they destroyed the minds of our daughters, take a look at the women of America, the young ones today, and how they cavort themselves, particularly the Hollywood starlets. Not only have they undermined our military, not only have they debased our police and our family and our religions, but they have also done something even worse than that. They have weakened us internationally. They have made the fundamentalist Muslim world hate us to an extent that you can't imagine. Now, they're so clever, the boys from Hollywood, that they make you think it's our war that has made us unpopular, when in fact we didn't start this war. This war has been declared on the West in the 7th century. Just study your history. This Islamist war started in the 7th century and it's never stopped. It's waxed and it's waned. Right now it's waxing because we're waning. And that's because we don't have enough John Waynes. And the only way to make them wane is to get some more John Waynes in the White House, not some more waxes in the White House.
Savage.
If you're buying a new home, building, or remodeling, I'd like you to consider shopping at Direct Buy. It's a private members-only showroom with 130 of them nationwide. There's bound to be one near you. The savings are astounding. This isn't just furniture. Direct Buy has kitchen cabinets, carpeting and hardwood, windows, doors, plumbing fixtures, appliances, and high-end electronics, even pool tables and patio furniture. I saw a gigantic LCD TV, 65-inch, high-def with everything. The best retail price I found for the same brand was $3,200. The Direct Buy price is $2,450 every day. That's $750 less. How does Direct Buy do it? They deal direct with 700 of the best manufacturers. Buy direct. Shop the Direct Buy showroom near you. You can't just walk in. Call for a free visitor's pass today. Toll free. 800-343-4040. 800-343-4040. That's 800-343-4040. Or see directbuyradio.com. Direct Buy. It's not just furniture. It's everything for your home.
Picking up Whoville weekday mornings from 6 till 9. Talk of the Town with Henry Hinton on the new Talk FM 94.3 WTIV. Farmville, Whoville, Washington. The new Talk FM 94.3 and Cable 7 present The Brian Bailey Show, Eastern North Carolina's longest running sports talk show. With this week's show, here's Brian Bailey.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome in on this Monday night. This is the Brian Bailey Show. Tonight we're talking Pirate baseball. East Carolina goes to South Carolina down in Columbia. They drop game one, win game two, and then game three was an absolute thriller. South Carolina takes two out of three from the Pirates, but still, when you look at some of the positives that came out of that series against one of the nation's best teams, it was a pretty good weekend as far as Pirate baseball is concerned. Our phone number, as always, is 355-8822. 355-8822. Tonight you can talk to the head coach of the Pirates, Billy Godwin, who joins us. And, Coach, I guess when we look at a series like that, obviously things didn't start so well, but things really, you know, the way the team bounced back and the fight they had on Sunday, I'd say it was a successful weekend.
Well, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of positives we can bring out of that. And, you know, I think there's two sides of it. One is the effort side, which I think our effort was good the entire weekend. Even in game one, we battled, and I didn't feel like our team ever quit. And, you know, and then we came back and bounced back and played really well Saturday night. And then, you know, Sunday was a great college baseball game. It didn't go our way. So there were some positives. And we'll take those away with us and build on them.
That first game was something that, you know, I almost said the bad news Pirates, because it didn't even look like an East Carolina baseball team. You know, bad things happened here, bad things happened there, and it just got out of hand. And I guess a good offensive team like that, when that starts to happen, it can unravel quickly, can't it?
Oh, yeah, it can unravel. I mean, you know, when they threw up an eight spot on, you know, DJ Hose, who's one of our best pitchers, you know, there was a lot of concern, but like I said, we got a chance to get some guys out there, particularly some freshmen who hadn't been out there and got their feet wet in that environment. And, you know, I thought game two was, and, you know, Coach Tanner and I talked about it, was the exact role reversal of game one, you know, which number one showed, I mean, it would have been really easy to go in there in that environment and our kids just to fold. And a lot of teams would, but, you know, I was really proud of that effort.
You know, it was interesting because I was thinking to myself, if I'm Seth Maynes getting ready to make my first start, watching that first game, I'm thinking, like, yeah, I want to go back to the hotel. But he stepped up and he pitched well. And even, you know, what got me with that game was the fact you guys took a 1-0 lead and then South Carolina scored two. And like you said, you know, the thought process could have been, well, here we go again. But the guys battled right back and then actually just took control and then dominated the rest of the game.
Yeah, and, you know, and Seth, as I said this all along, I mean, what great poise for a freshman to step out there and give us that kind of effort and that kind of out. And he's going to be a great pitcher here in our program. And, you know, when you start a freshman on Saturday at South Carolina, I mean, that says a lot about the faith that we have in him. And I couldn't have been any more pleased with the effort he gave us. And, you know, really, you think about it, there's a lot of the new guys. And Daniel Holder came in that game and did a good job, you know, being in that environment for the first time as a junior, college transfer. And then I thought still, you know, two other guys, Justin Bristow and Steele Cyrus, turned around on Sunday and kept us in the game and gave us the opportunity to win.
You know, the atmosphere down there, it was sold out as far as the stadium goes. It's an older type stadium, but it's a pretty good setup. It's kind of, you know, it's the fans are real close to the field, and they really love their baseball down there. There wasn't an empty seat in any of the three games, I don't think.
No, and it was a good environment for our guys to be in. There's no doubt. I thought everything about the trip was first class. You know, Coach Tanner in South Carolina treated us really good when we were down there, and I thought their fans were just good baseball fans, a lot like what we have in Greenville.
East Carolina, of course, will be on the road coming up on Wednesday, and then they'll make their home debut coming up this weekend with Mama coming to town. I guess the whole program's got to really look forward to getting a chance to play at Clark Atlanta Stadium because, you know, the guys really enjoy playing at home. You can tell, you know, in some of their comments after the game that, yeah, we can't wait to get back home and play there.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're excited about that. But we've, you know, today we've been in the office and we're focusing right now on Elon, which is a very good program. On Wednesday, and we're going to go there. So it'll be nice, you know, four games on the road, which has been a little different since I've been here, and then come back and, you know, outside of our two midweek games next week, we're going to be at home for a while.
355-8822, again, the phone number tonight to talk with Billy Godwin, head baseball coach at East Carolina. We'll take our first commercial break. We'll be back with your phone calls again. 355-8822, talking Pirate baseball tonight after this.
Shell Plastic Soap Furniture's inventory reduction sale today. Help us reduce our inventory and enjoy special pricing and deep discounts on quality name brand furniture and accessories store-wide. We've got hundreds of items priced to move. Save on bedroom and living room furniture, bedding, dining room sets, entertainment centers, and more. For the best deals on leather, sofas, sectionals, and recliners, visit Plastic Soap during our inventory reduction sale. With so many styles to choose from, you're guaranteed to find what you're looking for. We've got something for everyone. Take advantage of 12 months same as cash, no interest until 2009. Shop early for the best selection and save. With one-of-a-kind merchandise and discounted pricing, you don't want to miss this sale. It's a great way to start the new year. Don't miss our inventory reduction sale going on now. Look for special tags store-wide. Plastic Sub Furniture, your furniture store of choice. East Fire Tower Road, Greenville. We've got what you've got to have.
Are you ready for some good food and a great time? Pirates Pub and Restaurant features daily lunch specials from beer butt chicken to Friday flounder. Speaking of Friday, when your high school team wins, you win. If your team wins by 20 points, we'll give you a 20% discount all weekend. You can save as much as half, and they'll go all the way to a 50-point margin of victory. Bring in your ticket stub and celebrate your team's win. Bring in your ECU ticket stub after the game for half-price appetizers. Pirates Pub and Restaurant, Turnberry Drive, across from the Food Line at Bellsport.
Hey Pirate fans, this is Coach Skip Holtz. For years, we've all been smart and dependent on Trademark for the lowest prices on gas, groceries, and much more. And now, when you're on the go, think Trade Wilco. That's right, Trademark locations have now partnered with Wilco convenience stores to provide over 300 locations throughout the Southeast. The combined family-related company will market gas under the green and white Hess brand. And of course, no one supports the Pirates more. We know you're smart, so remember, Pirates on the go, stop at Trade Wilco.
The summer's here. There's no better time to have your eyes checked than right now. At the Eye Care Center, you'll find the perfect pair. You can receive an eye exam, frames, and single vision lenses for only $169. Or receive a complete contact lens package, including an eye exam, 3 months supply of disposable clear contact lenses, follow-up care, and solution kit, also for only $169. See store for details. Eye Care Center, located in Washington, Plymouth, Morehead City, and 3 in Greenville. Eye Care Center, doctors you can trust.
Game time is Tiebreakers time. Tiebreaker Sports Bar and Grill is locked and loaded for every college and pro football game this season. Tiebreakers has added 23 new plasma TVs, plus a brand new 133-inch high-def projection screen for all the big games. Tiebreakers opens daily at 11 a.m. and serves your favorite sports food and beverages until 2 a.m. every night. If it's game time, it's Tiebreakers time. The home of the Ugly Burger, Tiebreaker Sports Bar and Grill, between Food Lion and Bojangles at Bell's Fork. Tiebreakers.
All right, welcome back to the show. 355-8822 is our phone number tonight. Billy Godwin, the head baseball coach at East Carolina, is our guest. Pirates lose 2 out of 3 against South Carolina. We're just talking about some of the positives that came out. I think, you know, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but seeing some of the young pitchers pitch, I mean, until they get out there with that purple uniform on or the gray uniform or, you know, the Pirate uniform on, until they get a chance to play, you know, you don't know really what you're going to get. But those guys, I thought, to a man, performed very well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we talk about that all the time. There's four seasons in every year, or four evaluation periods. There's the fall, which we evaluate, the preseason, and then the season, and then the postseason. And guys change, and, you know, your goal is as you go through those four, you get better and better. And, you know, so I thought, like I said, I mean, with Seth Maness and Steel Cyrus in particular, as true freshmen and going out there in that environment, and doing what they did and giving. But we also knew that they were going to be very good coming in here. So, You know, that's an exciting part of it. That was a very positive.
But the rankings did come out today. I know in the rankings of the Eastern Conference 24 last week, they did drop out. But you got a feeling that if you get a couple more wins, you'll be back in those rankings. And that's not necessarily a goal, but you like to see that. Don't you? It gives your team, you know, it gives them some national exposure, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, surely, and absolutely. I mean, you know, our goal is just to play the best baseball we can play every weekend. And, you know, not get too high or too low based on one given weekend. It's the course of a season that we have to show the consistency. So we talk about competing, and Coach Jarrett and I talk about this a lot. And, you know, when you compete, you perform consistently at a high level physically and mentally with consistency. And I think that's that's the same thing we want our team to do is to be mentally prepared and physically prepared and be consistent throughout the entire year. And so, yeah, there were a lot of good things. I mean, we could have gone in there and easily won the series against mostly anybody, you know, in the country playing like we played this weekend. But we also know that for us to get to that level we want to be at, you could even term that as that could be what it's like in May. I mean, yeah. We could have split that series and there it is. And one thing we want our guys to realize is that's how close we are to taking that next step. I mean, South Carolina is a team that has been in, you know, 8 out of the last 9 Super Regionals in Omaha several times. And you could find yourself in that setting in May. Now, we would like certainly to have a good enough year that we're in that setting where we're playing that game at home in May. But if you look at it, that's a very realistic scenario right there for the first weekend of the year.
Is there a win total you look at as far as getting a chance to host in that first round, or is it more based on how you finish in the conference and your national ranking, that kind of thing?
Well, I think a win total. I think if you look at all the teams that won, I mean, most teams win 40 in the regular season or somewhere thereabout. And then, you know, your strength of schedule and the RPI and all those things. But, you know, in our league, our RPI tends to take care of itself because we're in such a good baseball league. So we've got to go in our league and play very well. And, you know, and that's what we're doing right now. We're just preparing in these 18 preseason games to get ready to go into a very challenging league.
You know, baseball is a lot different than say, some sports where you watch videotape and you examine tendencies, and your football coaches watch tape all the time, basketball coaches. But baseball, you really don't. But when you get ready to go to Elon, I mean, what do you guys know right now about Elon? And who, do you talk to other coaches to see what they've got? Do you have any idea who they're going to throw? Do you know who you're going to throw, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, we do, actually. We don't have the video footage, which is what a lot of people have. And if we do have it, we use it some. I know. Last year, we prepared for a few teams that we were able to go online and get actual video footage of their games, and we watched it and, you know, did some things off that. But we talked to other coaches, and we exchanged scouting reports, and that's common in baseball. Sometimes they're accurate, sometimes they're not. If we can, and like tomorrow, for example, one of our coaches will go watch Elon and Wilmington play, who are two teams we'll play. So we'll scout them to that degree. So, you know, that's really what you do. We're gonna see Ken and Jesse Luger, who pitched against us here last year and beat us here. I think we lost that game 5-2. He's a senior left-hander. So, you know, hopefully our guys will be fired up for that challenge.
And as far as travel goes, you guys will leave that morning for a game like that.
We'll leave like 11, somewhere in the 11. We'll try to keep in class as long as we possibly can, and we'll leave. And, it's not a bad trip. It's a couple of hours. And, you know, one thing we do know about Elon is they're well coached. I have a lot of respect for Mike Kennedy and what he's done there. And they traditionally have one of the best teams in their league. And, you know, they beat Clemson last year. They beat us. We know that. We know that they've made several NCAA appearances. So, you know, this isn't just a game where, you know, you go, oh, gosh, it's not NC State. It's not North Carolina. We know that they have a good baseball tradition, and we have to go down there and be ready to play.
Yeah, I think most, you know, people that follow Pirate baseball, and of course your players obviously have been losing last year in that game, you know, they know about it. But you know, it's one of those things that Elon is one of those teams that up and coming. They look at East Carolina and say, hey, this is a team. If we beat them, it moves us up the ladder, doesn't it?
Well, and that's exactly right. I mean, you know, and that's the way the places I've been, particularly Lewisburg and here, we want teams to be fired up when they play us. That means we have a good program. They're getting fired up about something. So it's kind of like the Yankees in a way. You know, everybody gets fired up to play the Yankees. You see packed houses when the Yankees come to town. Well, and that's our guys have to understand that challenge and be ready to accept it.
Back to the South Carolina game for a little bit, the third game. When you start that game, was the thinking there to try to create a run early? Because it seemed like both teams were in that mode, you know, bunting early and trying to get a person in scoring position, that kind of thing. Was that the mindset there too?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, anytime you're on the road like that, and I know that our, you know, when you've got You know, Justin Bristow out there hasn't pitched much. I mean, pitchers have a different mentality when you take the lead, whether it's 1-0 or 2-0. Certainly, Drew Schieber, you know, gave us a good charge. He gave us a good charge and put us up 2-0. And you know, we know he was as good as their offense was. Is that it was? It, you know, two runs wasn't going to be enough, and you try to keep mounting to that. But I thought our guys in that game did a good job of moving runners at times and putting runners in scoring position. But you saw a little bit more in that game of. Just not the dip and jack or the home run or the grand slam like Brandon Henderson. You saw a little bit even on their side of bunting and moving runners and just trying to put yourself in position to take the lead and you know, late in the game.
And there were a couple of sacrifice bunts. Harrison Elders was one of them, but and one for South Carolina, I remember. But they were just great bunts. They almost turned into hits. I mean, that's how good the bunt was. And that's a difficult assignment when you everybody knows the bunt's coming. You still lay one down, you almost beat out.
Well, and that's true. And, you know, the bunt puts pressure on teams.
Exactly.
I mean, when you bunt a baseball and you put it on the ground, you still got to field it, throw it, and you got to catch it again. Yeah. And there are three plays that can happen, and we know as much as we've been around baseball. So, and then when you get a guy like Harrison Eldridge or Dustin Harrington, some guys that can run a little bit, that adds a little bit more pressure. So you can see it. I could go back last year and talk about several times where the bunt was a very, very valuable weapon for us.
You talked about in the preseason the team's depth, and I think we had a chance to see that in the third game because you know, late in the game you were able to move people around, you were able to put different people in, and you were able to do some different things, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and we were, you know, again, we talked about the two freshman pitchers particularly, but, you know, if you looked at it at the end of the game, we had a freshman shortstop out there in Dustin Harrington, and we had a freshman left fielder in Trent Whitehead.
Yeah.
So, you know, we didn't bat an eye putting those guys out there. We know they're going to be great players for us. We did all we could to prepare them. You know, Dustin turned a nice double play. He was able to get a good bunt down there late in the game. And so we just try to prepare him to be in that situation. I kept talking to him all weekend. You got to visualize yourself out there because it could happen at any time.
And that's one of the tough parts about having a team with depth. You got guys that want to play every day. I mean, everybody out there probably wants to play every day. But you know, that's one of those things that they can't do it. I mean, Brandon Henderson's a guy who probably wouldn't have started. And he had the grand slam. I mean, if you don't have an injury. So, I mean, and that's just it's hard. I would say one of the hardest jobs for a coach is to get all the parts, you know, so everybody's still happy. Everybody's a team. But it's difficult.
Well, yeah, it is. And one of the things I do with our guys, as soon as our last scrimmage was over the week before we went, I guess I stayed on Sunday night, met with our seniors, met with our entire juniors, all of our juniors, and then all day Monday met with our freshmen and sophomores, individually, 15, 20 minutes, which takes, if you think about 35 guys, that takes a lot of time. But that's an important time for me to sit down. And you would be surprised. Most of our guys know where they're at. I think that's the first question I ask is, tell me how things have gone for you. Where do you think you're at if we start tomorrow? And 95% of the guys are usually right online with where they're at. So getting them to buy into their roles is certainly, from my standpoint, is an important part of what we do. I think our guys have done that, and they realize it. And a term I use with them a lot is, let's use our depth as our strength, not as our weakness, not as guys pouting and moping. But let's use it that where we can strike with it at any time. Somebody's not having a good day, we can send a pinch hitter up, and we've got 100% confidence in that guy.
Is that a chance for a guy to say, you know, I know I'm behind X player in left field, but I think if I keep working hard, I'll get a shot. And you say, you know, if you keep doing this, this, and this, you know, you'll get your shot and that kind of thing. Is that what you're looking at?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could go back and look at guys like Ryan Wood, who didn't start here for the first 11 or 12 games of his career.
Yeah.
And he's Carolina's a freshman, and he got a window. I call them windows of opportunity. When you get them, don't let the window slam on you while you're trying to get through the window or before you get through there. Jump through it and take advantage of it. And, you know, during the course of a year, everybody will get that window of opportunity. It's up to you to make the most of it. All I want to do is I want to win and put the best people out there to give us the best opportunity to win.
Final thought on the South Carolina series for the time being, but the fans that came down to Columbia, you got to really be thrilled with that because there were a big group of Pirate fans. They were vocal, they were loud, and the Gamecock fans knew they were there for sure.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. I even wanted to talk to me and said, you guys travel pretty good, don't you?
Yeah.
I said, well, apparently you've never been to Greenville. So the passion that I say it all the time that our fans have. And it's just tremendous. And to have that kind of support in an environment like going into South Carolina was certainly made our players feel and our coaching staff feel really good.
You know, it's funny, Coach Gary Oden and I were talking beforehand, and we were talking about sweeps. You know, and he said that the average, you know, it's like 18-20% of doubleheader sweeps. You just don't see a sweep in college baseball very often because teams are so competitive and that kind of thing. And so after the first game was over, I was thinking, well, you know, if there's ever been a chance for a sweep after a 20, you know, you think this will be it. And then you guys came out there. I think that's the one thing you look at for the team to bounce back like they did. Nobody, you know, there was no rush to judgment or anything. It was just like, hey, put it behind you. And that's part of the sport of baseball, too. And you go 0-4 one time and you come back up and you go 4-4. That's just confusing the whole thing, isn't it?
It is. It's strange. And again, analyzing that game, you know, we made some mistakes early. Of course, they swung the bat well and allowed them to score a lot of runs early for whatever reason. And then they made some mistakes. I mean, they had a ball going in their left fielder's glove just like we did. You know, they kicked the ball, a couple of balls around that led to big innings for us. So those two games, I don't think I've quite been a part of anything like that on consecutive days, much less in the same day. But for our guys just to get in there and put their nose to the grindstone and battle showed me a lot of grit. And I felt that. I mean, a lot of people asked me, like, Coach, what did you say between games? You know, did you chew them out? I was like, no. I said, you know, I knew that I've got a team full of guys that have a lot of pride and take a lot of pride in what they do. I just told them, look at the scoreboard. We're not certainly not 17 runs, worse than this team. Do you believe? I asked all our guys, did they believe it? They said no. I said, now, at 7 o'clock, it's going to be 0-0. And if you notice, we didn't push panic buttons. We didn't come out and start a whole new 4, 5, 6 guys. We basically kept the same lineup. We shuffled the deck with the order a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you can do with a veteran team. And that showed me a lot. Especially position players.
Again, 355-8822 is our phone number. Coach Godwin's here to take your calls, your questions on this Monday night. We'll take a commercial break right now. We'll be back with more on our show for you with Coach Godwin after this.
Are you ready for some good food at a great time? Pirates Pub and Restaurant features daily lunch specials from beer butt chicken to Friday flounder. Speaking of Friday, when your high school team wins, you win. If your team wins by 20 points, we'll give you a 20% discount all weekend. You can save as much as half, and they'll go all the way to a 50-point margin of victory. Bring in your ticket stub and celebrate your team's win. Bring in your ECU ticket stub after the game for half-price appetizers. Pirates Pub and Restaurant, Turnberry Drive, across from the Food Line at Bellsport.
Hey, Pirate fans, this is Coach Skip Holtz. For years, we've all been smart and dependent on Trademark for the lowest prices on gas, groceries, and much more. And now, when you're on the go, think Trade Wilco. That's right. Trademark locations have now partnered with Wilco convenience stores to provide over 300 locations throughout the Southeast. The combined family-related company will market gas under the green and white Hess brand. And, of course, no one supports the Pirates more. We know you're smart, so remember, Pirates on the go, stop at Trade Wilco.
The summer's here, and there's no better time to have your eyes checked than right now. At the Eye Care Center, you'll find the perfect pair. You can receive an eye exam, frames, and single vision lenses for only $169. Or receive a complete contact lens package, including an eye exam, 3 months supply of disposable clear contact lenses, follow-up care, and solution kit, also for only $169. See store for details. Eye Care Center, located in Washington, Plymouth, Moorhead City, and 3 in Greenville. Eye Care Center, doctors you can trust.
Game time is Tiebreakers time. Tiebreakers Sports Bar and Grill is locked and loaded for every college and pro football game this season. Tiebreakers has added 23 new plasma TVs, plus a brand new 133-inch high-def projection screen for all the big games. Tiebreakers opens daily at 11 a.m. and serves your favorite sports food and beverages until 2 a.m. every night. If it's game time, it's Tiebreakers time. The home of the Ugly Burger, Tiebreakers Sports Bar and Grill, between Food Lion and Bojangles at Bell's Court. Tiebreakers.
Shop Bostic Sub Furniture's inventory reduction sale today. Help us reduce our inventory and enjoy special pricing and deep discounts on quality name brand furniture and accessories store-wide. We've got hundreds of items priced to move. Save on bedroom and living room furniture, bedding, dining room sets, entertainment centers, and more. For the best deals on leather, sofas, sectionals, and recliners, visit Bostic Sub during our inventory reduction sale. With so many styles to choose from, you're guaranteed to find what you're looking for. We've got something for everyone. Take advantage of 12 months same as cash, no interest until 2009. Shop early for the best selection and save. With one-of-a-kind merchandise and discounted pricing, you don't want to miss this sale. It's a great way to start the new year. Don't miss our inventory reduction sale going on now. Look for special tags store-wide. Plastic Sub Furniture, your furniture store of choice. East Fire Tower Road, Greenville. We've got what you've got to have.
Welcome back to our show. 355-8822 is our phone number tonight to talk with head coach Billy Godwin. Let's go to the phones to pick up line one. And this is Robert. Hello, Robert. All right, let's go to Baxter on line two. Robert didn't help through the commercial. Hello, Baxter.
I'm here.
I know you're holding on, brother.
Just wanted to congratulate Coach for going down and looking South Carolina one game and then playing within an extra inning the third game. And I understand that we had approximately 1,000 fans from East Carolina there from mid-doctors today on the telephone, and it was a big, exciting event the whole way through. Congratulations on winning at least one game against a powerhouse like South Carolina.
Well, thank you, Baxter. I appreciate that. And our fans certainly were a huge part of that. Our guys, you know, really felt their influence there. And, you know, we were excited about our effort. But, you know, when it comes down to results, you know, we certainly know that's a tough task to go down there and win that series. But in our program, I want our expectations to be that we want to be able to go places like that and win series. And, you know, our players know that. But I was overwhelmingly pleased with a lot of the things that I saw this weekend.
Hope to be warming one of the seats over there this week, and I look forward to it, and go Pirates.
All right, Baxter, thanks for the call. 355-8822, again, is the phone number. Robert, if you want to give us a call back, we'll get you on right away. Again, 355-8822 with Coach Godwin. In the 11th inning, when the bats got the base hit, you bring Sheever. Did you have any thoughts of holding him up on that play? It was a close play at the plate, and he was safe.
Absolutely not.
They got to make a play in that situation.
With two outs right there, that's got to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had talked about getting a good secondary lead right there and making sure we work on that a lot with two outs. And, you know, we're going to score because the percentages are for two out hits are high. So when we get one, we've got to force that team to make that play, and there was no way I was going to hold him right there.
Because I looked up, and he was rounding third as the left fielder was getting the ball, and I thought, I didn't think he'd go on. I saw he start waving mid, and really, I think his slide, it was a close play.
It was a very close play, but I thought he was under the tag, no doubt. It was just one of those things where the ball came up and was able to get under before the catcher was able to get the tag down. It was a great slide on his part. And what a clutch effort he had to the ninth inning and doing the things that Drew Sheever did for us.
He certainly did. Let's go back to the phone to pick up Robert's call. Hello, Robert.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Great job on a great weekend.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
Sorry, I lost my voice after y'all a little bit after the tried to be a little bit louder than the game talk. Just curious as your thoughts at shortstop this year. Drew struggled a little bit. Didn't know if you were thinking about moving Ryan over and maybe putting over Drew or at second or what. Try to get your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say, and I think Drew would agree, they probably didn't have the weekend like he hoped. And, you know, he had certainly prepared and looked a lot better than, you know, he did. I don't think we're going to push any panic buttons right now. We've got, you know, one of the things we talk about is our versatility and our depth, and we've got other options. And I'll tell you, one option is that we really like our little freshman, Dustin Harrington. One of the things we've got to be careful with Wood, because he is going to factor into the equation at a big-time level with us on the mound, even though he didn't this weekend, because he has made tremendous strides on the mound. We've got to be careful running him out there at that shortstop position with the throws in the hole and the double play turns at short and deep in the hole and then expecting him or asking him to pitch a lot. Because I know he didn't pitch much this week or didn't pitch at all this weekend, but I think Ryan Woods is going to play a big, big part of the equation for us as our season goes on. So we want to be careful with his arm, too, in doing that.
Thank you very much. Good luck
tomorrow
night.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Okay, Robert, thanks for the call. 355-8822. Again, the phone number is to talk with Billy Godwin tonight. The good news on the injury front, you can't really talk in depth about it because of HIPAA laws and that kind of thing, but maybe you can tell us what you can tell us. But Bailey Daniels, the word around town was that maybe he was going to have Tommy John surgery. He had arm problems, but that, you know, the MR came back in a positive way, and he's out for maybe 2 weeks, and you'll have him back.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like right now. I mean, you know, Bailey tweaked his arm, you know, right in preparation as Trent Ashcraft did that Saturday. They both happened on the same day.
That's not a good Saturday.
I wish I could go back and take it back. But again, we wanted to be precautious. We were able to get him evaluated. As at this point, it doesn't look like anything that's going to keep him out. But we're also going to be careful in bringing him back and making sure he's 100% because he's going to be a huge part of what we do. There's no doubt about that.
And Ashcraft, he banged his shoulder up diving for a ball, and it really wasn't a serious injury, just one of those injuries that needs rest, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the first two or three days after that, I mean, he could hardly lift his arm. And as the week went, it was better and better and better. He was able to actually take some swings in pregame on Sunday. And today was actually cleared to be able to have a full practice with us tomorrow. So I'll be excited to see, you know, what kind of progress he's making. But it's so early in the year, and those guys are so valuable to our team. Sometimes I want to rush them out there, but at the same time, I have to make sure that we're not risking a further chance of injury. I don't want to take a step forward and maybe three back. And that's where it is nice to have Brandon Henderson and Trent Whitehead and Devin Harris and some guys that we feel can come in and do some good things for us.
I know Stephen Bass didn't have the weekend that he would have liked to have had. He had the big hit in the 11th inning, but he struggled a little bit. And the funny part about that, and this is all meant in humor, but you know, he got engaged over the offseason, and I saw his fiance now, and I said, you know, one of us had a hitting streak until he got engaged. And she said, because I've heard that three times already. It's not real funny. But she kind of took it with humor and laughed about it. But here's a guy who can absolutely, just a pure hitter. And really, when he gets tuned up, I mean, you know, you look at the averages you got anyway, and that's without, you know, bats having a good weekend.
Well, it is. And, you know, again, you know, going back, the evaluation over the long haul, we know Stephen's going to sit in the three hole and be a tremendous hitter for us. And, you know, certainly I thought it's funny how, you know, we talked about it at our coaching staff Mondays that day to kind of reevaluate where we're at, what we're going to do for the week. And we talked about it. And Stephen is, you know, again, not pushing panic buttons or anything. He's going to be fine. But I thought the week leading up, BP and everything, he had swung the bat as well as he has since he'd been at East Carolina.
Really?
And, you know, and he just, you know, for whatever reason, it's just the timing, the rhythm, but we have no concerns with it. Stephen Bass is a concern, and I really don't have a problem with him, I can tell you that.
He's just, and it's a shame, you know, when hitting streaks like that, to get him cranked back up. It's a shame that you know, that he lost that hitting streak in that game, but still, you got another guy with a hitting streak now, 18 games. I mean, Jamie Ray's coming through. I mean, he's really on tear.
The country ham.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, because I asked either Link or you about this. He had a bad one of the scrimmages he was in. I think he didn't run out of ball, and then he dropped one in the outfield. And I think, you know, and the thinking was, you know, what's wrong? But he hadn't shown anything like that. I mean, that's just a bad day.
Well, and you know, the ball, I think you were there that got on him.
Yeah.
But and I didn't know it, but he had kind of tweaked his hamstring.
Really?
Because it's so uncharacteristic for him not to,
yeah,
to do
so
that.
I noticed that he ran out something all the way to second base this weekend. I noticed that, and I thought.
Well, and that's what he told me afterwards. I said, well, if you've got something going on, wave at me before I jump all over you. But no, those guys know I'm expecting to play hard every day that they go out there. And it was uncharacteristic. I guess that's why I got on him, because I was like, where did that come from? But no, I mean, Jamie is you know, if you look at his career at East Carolina, and, you know, there are times he can be streaky.
Yeah.
But he has been a lifetime career 300 hitter here. And has really, as he's gotten older and developed and his approach has gotten better, has really done a nice job.
And that hit in game two, you had to be pleased when that ball fell in and outfield went diving for it. It started rolling back and that windmill was going.
Oh, yeah, we're going to score them all in. Absolutely. So, Jamie had a big weekend for us. And that guy works tremendously hard. I mean, he's one of the kind of the silent assassins on my club. Nobody doesn't say a whole lot, doesn't talk a whole lot, but he is in that cage every day before practice, and he takes a lot of pride in what he does.
He had three guys hit over 400 for the weekend. Ray was 462. Harrison Eldridge was 462, and both their on-base percentages were right at 500. I thought Harrison was around 750. It seemed like every time I looked up, Harrison was on-base somehow. He drew a walk, and, you know, with a sacrifice blunt here or there, and he handles the bat so well, and he's what you're looking for in a leadoff batter, because sometimes he'll go up, he'll hack away at that first pitch, but sometimes he'll go up and he'll be real patient, and it seems like, and when he does swing at that first pitch, it's usually a fastball, usually it's a base hit somewhere.
Yeah, and I always ask him, we were joking, going into the third game, and, you know, are you going to swing at the first pitch? He goes, I don't know, I'll never make that my mind up until I get to the box and see how I feel, but he is, I mean, he's been a tremendous table setter for us, and you know, he had three stolen bases this weekend, and you know, he could just be that guy that is a thorn in everybody's side if he goes out and plays the way he's capable of playing. So you know, I think our whole offense gets going around Harrison when he's going good. You know, our offense is really kicking in on all cylinders.
The one change I think you did make, you moved Bass back over to first, Henderson out in left field. Because Bass did struggle out there a little bit in left field. And
really?
Yeah. I know you were pulling your hair out, whatever.
Not much left.
Yeah, but he's usually one of those players you can play anywhere. I mean, you haven't seen that.
And in defense of Steven, I mean, he probably had not had the reps out there. You know, we take for granted, I think, sometimes as coaches, what a great athlete he is. Yeah. And just say, oh, he's okay, he can go do anything. But, you know, he probably should have had a few more reps. And he's such a good first baseman. And Henderson started about 60 games in the outfield for us. And, you know, again, it goes back to that versatility. I don't have a problem. Steven Bass can play left field for us.
He can play anywhere, really.
He really can.
I mean, he's played second for you before.
Yeah, and I think the play where the ball got in his glove, you know, affected him a little bit. And, you know, you don't know all kinds of – and then maybe he didn't feel quite as comfortable, but – I have no reservations about putting him back out there or playing him anywhere else because I think as coaches, we take for granted what a great athlete he really is and how many things he can do, and we know he can do well.
355-8822, our phone number again to talk to Billy Godwin, head baseball coach at East Carolina Pirates on the road against Elon, and finally at home at Clark McLaren Stadium. Big three-game series coming up with the Hawks of Monmouth. We'll talk more about that coming up after this.
Are you ready for some good food at a great time? Pirates Pub and Restaurant features daily lunch specials from beer butt chicken to Friday flounder. Speaking of Friday, when your high school team wins, you win. If your team wins by 20 points, we'll give you a 20% discount all weekend. You can save as much as half, and they'll go all the way to a 50-point margin of victory. Bring in your ticket stub and celebrate your team's win. Bring in your ECU ticket stub after the game for half-price appetizers. Pirates Pub and Restaurant, Turnberry Drive, across from the Food Line at Bellsport.
Hey, Pirate fans, this is Coach Skip Holtz. For years, we've all been smart and dependent on Trademark for the lowest prices on gas, groceries, and much more. And now, when you're on the go, think Trade Wilco. That's right. Trademark locations have now partnered with Wilco convenience stores to provide over 300 locations throughout the Southeast. The combined family-related company will market gas under the green and white Hess brand. And, of course, no one supports the Pirates more. We know you're smart, so remember, Pirates on the go, stop at Trade Wilco.
Shop Bostic Sub Furniture's inventory reduction sale today. Help us reduce our inventory and enjoy special pricing and deep discounts on quality name brand furniture and accessories store-wide. We've got hundreds of items priced to move. Save on bedroom and living room furniture, bedding, dining room sets, entertainment centers, and more. For the best deals on leather, sofas, sectionals, and recliners, visit Bostic Sub during our inventory reduction sale. With so many styles to choose from, you're guaranteed to find what you're looking for. We've got something for everyone. Take advantage of 12 months same as cash, no interest until 2009. Shop early for the best selection and save. With one-of-a-kind merchandise and discounted pricing, you don't want to miss this sale. It's a great way to start the new year. Don't miss our inventory reduction sale going on now. Look for special tags store-wide. Bostic Sub Furniture, your furniture store of choice. East Fire Tower Road, Greenville. We've got what you've got to have.
The summer's here. There's no better time to have your eyes checked than right now. At the Eye Care Center, you'll find the perfect pair. You can receive an eye exam, frames, and single vision lenses for only $169, or receive a complete contact lens package, including an eye exam, 3-month supply of disposable clear contact lenses, follow-up care, and solution kit, also for only $169. See store for details. Eye Care Center, located in Washington, Plymouth, Moorhead City, and 3 in Greenville. Eye Care Center, doctors you can trust.
Game time is Tiebreakers time. Tiebreaker Sports Bar and Grill is locked and loaded for every college and pro football game this season. Tiebreakers has added 23 new plasma TVs, plus a brand new 133-inch high-def projection screen for all the big games. Tiebreakers opens daily at 11 a.m. and serves your favorite sports food and beverages until 2 a.m. every night. If it's game time, it's Tiebreakers time. The home of the Ugly Burger, Tiebreaker Sports Bar and Grill, between Food Lion and Bojangles at Bell's Fort. Tiebreakers.
Okay, welcome back to our show.
show, 355-8822. Again, the phone number to talk with Billy Godwin, Pirate Baseball Coach, as we get you set for Pirate Baseball this weekend. Three-game series, East Carolina and Monmouth, the Hawks. So you didn't know I knew that, did you?
You did. That was impressive.
We looked it up last week. We couldn't figure out what it was, so we looked it up and found it. Now, coming up as far as pitching goes for Eli, what are you going to do there?
Well, we're going to roll another freshman out there who hasn't pitched, Matt Laney, big left-hander we have out of Richmond, Virginia. We're excited about that. I mean, we recruit these guys. We see a lot of upside and ability. Again, you don't know what they're going to do till you actually roll them out and lights come on, the scoreboard comes on. But we're going to do that. And we've got to quickly focus on developing five guys, and that's what we've said all along. So we'll go, at least through the weekend, we'll go Laney, Hose, Manus, and Bristow again, and probably come back with Sowers next Tuesday at ODU. With Sowers being available maybe for an inning or two this weekend, early in the weekend.
Okay.
And then again, depending upon how Laney pitches on Wednesday, I mean, we could go to Matt Cox at VCU. So we have some options, and I think that's going to be the whole key. The teams that win a lot of games develop their pitching, and they feel good. I mean, you got to feel good about, you know, right now Seth Maness again and Steele Sowers and Daniel Holder. And some guys that we rolled out this weekend. So now we've got to continue that development process and get guys out there we expect to perform at a high level.
And you look at the whole thing. I mean, these guys have been pitching the whole preseason against your ball club, which is a pretty good offensive team anyway. So I'm sure when they saw – and South Carolina, some of those guys, you know, smoking some of those guys, they were big guys, and they could hit. But I mean, they obviously weren't intimidated at all because they've been pitching against a pretty good offensive team.
Well, I think that's an advantage. You know, I always said, because I thought our hitters probably preseason at times got a little bit best about it. So I didn't really know. I said, are we really that good offensively, or are we that bad on the mound? And I think somewhere in between the two falls. But I am really, really excited about this freshman class. And, you know, you go back and you look at Brad Mincy, I mean, the other day. Now, I know he had coming in after TJ. I mean, he was up to 92 with a good changeup, and at times he threw some great pitches. Seth Simmons, when he develops a little more consistency. I thought Shane Small came in, and at times, again, the difference in those guys and what we're working on those guys is they'll show tremendous feel for a while, and then they'll miss a pitch up or out, and the consistency becomes their key. And that's what, as they get it there physically, they're good enough to compete at this level. There's no question.
And you got some other options. You can talk about Matt Cox is a kid that is going to be there somewhere down the line.
Oh, no question. I mean, you know, I probably in hindsight, I wish I got Matt out there, but we kept thinking in a lefty situation, you know, as the weekend. Hey, after the first game, I didn't know how many pitchers we carry on with us. But, you know, if you look at it, we only really used four of the guys after the first game. We'll include Woolman being our fifth guy. But, you know, I have a high expectation for Matt. He and I talked about it today. He probably didn't have the preseason coming in here that he wanted to. But he's going to get that opportunity. When he does, he's got to grasp it and go get it.
And as you said, you got to try to develop and five starting pitchers because, you know, most of the time you're going to have two midweek games, and that's a little different because the schedule got pushed back a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that was something that we struggled with. Mike Anderson stepped in there for us at times last week and did a yeoman's job for us, and I thought that we got a quality. But we're going to be bound and determined that we're going to develop five or six starters that we can run out there that give us a chance to compete at a high level. And we've been working on that since the day these guys walked in here on campus because we knew, and it just didn't all of a sudden our schedule appeared. Go, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? And these were the plans, and we're sticking with them. And we know that there are going to be some growing pains or lumps. We hope not. We've tried to prepare them. But I can't think of a better environment. I mean, our team is probably not going to see a better offensive club than they just saw this past weekend, or pitching against our hitters is good offensive club.
And when you look at trying to develop those starters, I mean, what you saw with TJ probably isn't what you're going to get with TJ, but you have to be pretty pleased with Seth, the way he battled early on and the way he brought everybody back. And then Justin Bristow, did he pitch for Auburn in that stadium before? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think he started last year on Sunday there, and I think he fared a whole lot better this time than he did last time. I mean, he didn't throw bad there, if I remember just talking with him. I think he lasted 3 or 4 innings, but he actually came out of the game with the lead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. 355-8822 again. We're talking with Billy Godwin tonight, talking Pirate Baseball. What do you know about Monmouth? Anything as far as that goes?
I do know it's interesting how this whole started. Dean Ehart, who played here, is a former Pirate, played here for Coach O back in the 80s, is the head coach there. Dean and I have been friends dating back to my Lewisburg days. And just, we got to talk, and he was going down and playing UCF and Houston and Rice and some people like that. And I said, Dean, you know, we'd like to have you come back home. And but, you know, they were an NCAA thing last year. They're going to be well coached. They're going to be scrappy. They're going to play hard. I mean, all the things that, you know, so this will be their first outing. They actually did not play. I mean, their Friday game will be their first game. They didn't play last weekend. So, I mean, this is, again, somebody on our schedule. It may not be the quote-unquote South Carolina but a guy who's done a good job in that program and you know, who's been in the NCAA tournament.
And when you look at a team like Monmouth, I mean, obviously, as you said, you try to see video, you try to see what you got, but do you know anything about their pitching and what you're going to expect there?
Well, it's kind of tough because they didn't play last week, so we can't call last week. We're going to scout report. So, we'll have a feel for you know, some of the things that they did based on what they did last year, but so many things change. I mean, you know, if you took a scouting report for some of our guys from last year, and I don't think a lot of that applies this year. So that's the tough part of it. But, you know, one of the things is, you know, I think as the weekends go on, and I think it was a huge advantage, you know, for our pitchers to sit there and watch, even game one, because we could talk about mistakes and things that should be done different. And then as the weekend goes, you know, if they locate and do things against certain hitters, you know, you certainly should have an advantage as a pitcher. If you sit there for two games and saw a team hit for 2 days, on Sunday, when you're the Sunday starter, I think that's a huge advantage.
Have you had many teams in the past, even at Lewisburg, that you have position players involved in the pitching rotation, like you do here with Bristow playing third and Ryan Wood playing second? I mean, do you remember?
Probably not. Probably was
Is that rare?
Well, yeah, Bernie Taylor was a two-way guy for me.
Yeah.
And was a good hitter until I quit letting him hit when he hurt his shoulder. He was too valuable to us on the mound. Of course, the Pirate fans know Bernie Taylor. And I had another kid, Ashley Brewer and Marcus Covington, who ended up, both of those kids, I think, played pro ball. And but they were outfielders, first basemen. The challenge for us has been managing the arms.
Right.
With Bristow throwing, playing on the left side of the infield, and there are a lot of throws that are required there. Most of those guys have been first basemen and outfielders, and that's what you typically see in college baseball. So we just want to be real careful in managing their arms and looking after their arms and making sure that we're not putting any risk.
Is Ryan Wood more of an actual second baseman than he is a shortstop?
I think he's good either place. I mean, you know, I thought he did a great job of filling in for Dale last year.
I mean,
we basically, our decision, and he may, who knows? I mean, we don't know. I mean, he may end up being back over there, but our whole thought process was, is if he is really going to be a serious consideration. He was throwing, and we felt this way last year, he was throwing and almost at the verge of getting in the mix pitching last year. And when we moved him short when Dale got hurt, we shut him down from pitching.
Right.
But again, that's going back to just trying to make sure we're doing what's best for him and his arm.
Guy who had a pretty good weekend, we haven't even talked about it at all, as your catcher, Corey Kemp, celebrated his birthday on Sunday. I thought he was going to hit a home run to celebrate his birthday, but he didn't quite get that.
That would have been okay.
But yeah, exactly. but he hit 400 for the weekend. And really, he looked like he made a great catch. I think it was in game two.
About
a dugout, sliding catch. But he really seemed to be a commanding force for your young pitchers, too. He seemed that he called Tommy, go out and talk to him, and I think he did a good job with him.
He really did. I mean, Corey is, you know, he's not one of our team captains for no reason, but he's such a great presence and leader on the field that, you know, I compare it all the time in football. He's like our quarterback on the field because he sees everything that's going on. He has to run the defense and the butt defense, the picks and the signs. And so he is, and he does a great job with that. And he is a good common force for our guys out there. And he's got great feel, I think, is a term we use a lot in our office. Guys that have feel for the game, and Corey has good feel for the game.
And when he doesn't catch, what are you going to throw out there? Will Sheba go behind the plate?
Well, we were Sheba, but, you know, I was able to get Bobby Fowler in a little bit in the game the other day, and I thought he did a fine job. I mean, he's emerged probably would be our two spot, but Drew Sheba could also step back there and catch some force if we had to. So I feel like our depth is good there. Corey has spent a lot of time working on conditioning. And, you know, we've tried to prepare him physically to catch 85 to 90% of our games.
Yeah. Another guy I know you want to get rolling is Kyle Rowland. Play on words there, but if you get him rolling, he'll be doing it. And he puts on a show in batting practice, I can tell you that.
Well, he does. And, you know, I think Kyle was pressing at times a little bit. And, you know, we know what we saw in him last year. Again, it goes back to that thing that I don't worry about Kyle roller. I've got a lot of worries that he's not winning all of them. I thought he did a real nice job Saturday night going with some balls and hitting them the other way and coming up with some big hits for us. And, you know, probably pressed a little bit at the plate at times on Sunday, but that guy's going to win a lot of games.
He's just not going to see anything on the inner half of the plate at all, is he? If he does.
You know, he's going to have to make adjustments and hit. And I thought, again, the two balls he hit, you know, he hit a double early in the game on Saturday, and that was an off-speed pitch away. And I thought he did a really nice job of hitting. If he can do that and transform that over, then they're going to have to force him to do something else and throw to him. He'll start to see more fastballs. But right now, he's going to see a lot of changeups and breaking balls.
Yeah, that's tough on a hitter, isn't it?
It's tough. I mean, it is tough. But, you know, if you're a good hitter, you just got to make that adjustment.
Well, when you look at what you told your team after the game, when you guys finished up, you lose it in 11 innings, heartbreaking loss. When you get them all together, what do you tell them right then?
Well, I mean, you know, it's always like for me to gather my thoughts and then gather theirs. I just told them the main thing I wanted them to do was to walk out of that stadium with their head held up, be proud they were Pirates, and show class and dignity and respect. And I was proud of the way that they battled and hung in there. And I don't think anybody was at that series or saw, nobody can say that we quit or laid down or didn't belong.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I think you and I were talking about it a little earlier. I mean, you know, the best thing I can tell our team taking away from that is a scenario. I mean, it was the opening weekend that we hope to have in May, where we have a split with a team that South Carolina, and we're playing one game, winner take all. Well, if there's anything that ought to excite our guys, is that the fact of how close we really are of taking that next step, and that we actually belong on the field in that environment. Now, what we want to do is win enough games so that that environment is in Greenville.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And then it's advantage, you know, it's advantage Paris, just like it was almost advantage. I mean, you got 6,000 Gamecock fans there. I mean, their guys are juiced. But at the same time,
I was tired of hearing some of those cheers by the end of that thing. They had it going on, but you're right. That's the game plan. That's the magic. And I tell you, it reminds me back in September, East Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Coach Holt held his whole team out on the field after the game was over. He had the whole team out, which you know, is rare. Usually, they get the guys locking quick. He held them all out. He said, you know, look at that scoreboard. Understand that you belong at this level. You belong. And that reminded me. I was like, you know, this South Carolina maybe ranked second in the nation, but this East Carolina Pirate team most certainly belong and almost took 2 out of 3 from them.
Oh, no doubt. And we've been preaching it to our guys. Now, you know, the middle side, everybody talks about the middle side of baseball is so important. It's just need to make them understand. I know our team knows they belong. I mean, I know that, and we built that. I mean, we need to have a swagger, and that's one of the things we talk about. But we also need to know that, you know, we need to respect every team we play, but fear no one.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this team is starting to get, and I'm excited about that. I just kind of want the season, you know, to get going and get in full swing.
Once he gets going, we'll be sitting here in May saying, you know, where are you seated in the tournament? You get the host and that kind of thing. Man, it just flies by. But it's a great start going down in Columbia this past weekend. We'll take our final break, then we'll wrap things up with Billy Godwin, head baseball coach of East Carolina. Back with that after this.
Are you ready for some good food at a great time? Pirates Pub and Restaurant features daily lunch specials from beer butt chicken to Friday flounder. Speaking of Friday, when your high school team wins, you win. If your team wins by 20 points, we'll give you a 20% discount all weekend. You can save as much as half, and they'll go all the way to a 50-point margin of victory. Bring in your ticket stub and celebrate your team's win. Bring in your ECU ticket stub after the game for half-price appetizers. Pirates Pub and Restaurant, Turnberry Drive, across from the Food Line at Bellsport.
Hey, Pirate fans, this is Coach Skip Holtz. For years, we've all been smart and dependent on Trademark for the lowest prices on gas, groceries, and much more. And now, when you're on the go, think Trade Wilco. That's right. Trademark locations have now partnered with Wilco convenience stores to provide over 300 locations throughout the Southeast. The combined family-related company will market gas under the green and white Hess brand. And, of course, no one supports the Pirates more. We know you're smart, so remember, Pirates on the go is stuff with Trade Wilco.
The summer's here, there's no better time to have your eyes checked than right now. At the Eye Care Center, you'll find the perfect pair. You can receive an eye exam, frames, and single vision lenses for only $169, or receive a complete contact lens package, including an eye exam, 3-month supply of disposable clear contact lenses, follow-up care, and solution kit, also for only $169. See store for details. Eye Care Center, located in Washington, Plymouth, Morehead City, and 3 in Greenville. Eye Care Center, doctors you can trust.
Game time is Tiebreakers time. Tiebreaker Sports Bar and Grill is locked and loaded for every college and pro football game this season. Tiebreakers has added 23 new plasma TVs, plus a brand new 133-inch high-def projection screen for all the big games. Tiebreakers opens daily at 11 a.m. and serves your favorite sports food and beverages until 2 a.m. every night. If it's game time, it's Tiebreakers time. The home of the Ugly Burger, Tiebreaker Sports Bar and Grill, between Food Lion and Bojangles at Bell's Court. Tiebreakers.
Shop Bostic Sub Furniture's inventory reduction sale today. Help us reduce our inventory and enjoy special pricing and deep discounts on quality name brand furniture and accessories store-wide. We've got hundreds of items priced to move. Save on bedroom and living room furniture, bedding, dining room sets, entertainment centers, and more. For the best deals on leather, sofas, sectionals, and recliners, visit Bostic Sub during our inventory reduction sale. With so many styles to choose from, you're guaranteed to find what you're looking for. We've got something for everyone. Take advantage of 12 months same as cash, no interest until 2009. Shop early for the best selection and save. With one-of-a-kind merchandise and discounted pricing, you don't want to miss this sale. It's a great way to start the new year. Don't miss our inventory reduction sale going on now. Look for special tags store-wide. Bostic Sub Furniture, your furniture store of choice. East Fire Tower Road, Greenville. We've got what you've got to have.
All right, welcome back to our show. I'm Coach Bing on the show with us today. We've got a Sunday brunch for two, courtesy of the Beef Barn and our good friend Bob Simon. We've also got lunch for two at Pirates Pub. That's courtesy of Gary Harris and the folks over at Pirates Pub. $25 scorecard courtesy of Tiebreakers and Bram Anderson. And Bram and Tracy did, in fact, have that baby. I held that baby for a good hour the other day. It's welcoming Tucker Davis to the world. And he was born, I think he was born before last Monday's show. Nobody called me. So I went over and gave him a gift and held the baby for a good hour, hour and a half. Had a good time with that. Golf for two at Ironwood, courtesy of John DeMonica. Golf for two at Bradford Creek, courtesy of Mike Cato. And I forgot to get link his stuff, so I'm giving you both the envelopes tonight, so I don't have to mail that sucker out. So we got that to go. So we certainly appreciate your time. It's your only night off, but you spend it with us, and that's good.
Talking Pirate baseball,
there you go.
good company.
There you go. You're in great company. I really enjoyed going down there. It's just fun. It's just like the Hawaii trip for me. I was in Hawaii with all the Pirate fans and the bowl game and even the Columbia trip. I mean, the Pirate fans were out there, and it was just neat to mingle with the players, mingle with the fans. And I know that was a series, you know, with the number two team in the country. You guys ranked 24th. I mean, that had to mean a lot to you, just the excitement and the exposure, that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, and that's what we talk about at East Carolina is, you know, we want to play the best people in the country. And, you know, we do that in our league. And certainly for us to step out and play a team like South Carolina with the history of their program and certainly was exciting for our players and like our fans.
Elon, on Wednesday, you guys make the trip over to Burlington to take on Elon and then back at home against Monmouth again for the Elon game. Matt Laney will get the start. Will you do anything different with position players in that game?
You know, again, I'm not probably gonna push it. We talked about it today as a staff, and I use the term over and over, panic buttons. I mean, we like the guys we've got out there. We think there's some guys that are pushing for opportunities that are going to get them, but we want to bide our time. And we saw some good things out of the position players we had out there this week, and you know, some of them need to step up and play a little bit better in their respective areas. But we'll address that tomorrow in practice and prepare as hard as we can to go over to Elon, because we know that's going to be they got a good program, and we're going to have to go over there and be ready to play.
And competition, it always brings out the best in players. I mean, you want guys pushing other players for time and that kind of thing, because that one makes everybody better.
Oh, no doubt. And you know, that's one thing that I think has improved tremendously is that our players know that, you know, I don't promise them anything. Only thing I promise them is when I make a lineup, I'm going to put the best guys out there to give us the best chance to win on that given day.
Well, when you look at this weekend, Monmouth comes to town, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday games. The rotation the same. Hose goes on Friday. Seth Maness on Saturday. Justin Bristow on Sunday.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. And, again, trying to develop and look ahead a little bit. I mean, our plans right now is, if they stay the same, is for, you know, Steel Sirums again. I thought he pitched tremendous down there as to get the ball, and he'll go on Tuesday at Old Dominion.
The thing I noticed about Steel, and I didn't get a chance to see him play a lot in high school at North Illinois. I know we covered him some, and we covered him, of course, in the state championships and that kind of thing, but he had a smile on his face the whole time he was pitching. I think part of that was a sarcastic smile, because I think he didn't get some calls, but I think he kind of just grinned, and one of those grin and bear it type deals. I mean, he knew he was in a hostile environment. He knew that maybe in that situation you don't always get the call as the visiting team. But he threw some really good pitches to smoke before the home run that gave South Carolina the lead.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we had him struck out.
I didn't even say that or not.
I didn't say anything about anybody.
You didn't say anybody else. Yeah.
But anyhow, no, Steel Sowers is a I've watched that kid now for 2 years, and the competitor he is.
He's a bulldog.
No doubt.
Yeah. And that's what you need. That's what you need, especially, you know, for a freshman. And I think that's when you guys get 2 or 3 weeks from now, I think you'll all look back and say, hey, you know these guys are much better because of that South Carolina series.
No doubt. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, that's what we got to do. I mean, you're talking about having Laney and Manus and Sowers and then, you know, Mincy and some of these other guys. I mean, it's pretty exciting for our future, but at the same time, they got to keep making strides because we want to be able to compete at a high level.
Elon, coming up on Wednesday, fans are making the trip there. You know, you're starting Matt Laney. You talked about not making any changes, but that's a good midweek game to get you ready for the weekend, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt. There is no doubt, and we can't take that for granted at all. Again, that's the one thing coming off that environment. That's what concerns you as a coach, and being in that type of environment with that type of hype. It's kind of like I told our guys last year after we played Fullerton and we came back and we had a home game is, you know, we have to be careful of not being flat, and because we can't afford to be, because Elon is again, they swept this weekend. We're going in there, they're 4-0. So they're playing with some confidence. And again, I know the type of coach Mike Kennedy is, and he does a very, very good job with his guys.
Pirates and Elon on Wednesday, East Carolina, Monmouth will open up the home part of the schedule coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Coach, thanks so much. Congratulations on it. So we say successful because you guys lost 2 out of 3, but still I think everybody looks at it as pretty much a positive, and we're looking forward to the rest of the season for sure.
Well, we are, and I appreciate you having me on.
Billy Godwin, our guest tonight. That's our show tonight. Have yourself a great sports week. We'll see you back here previewing the Eastern Regionals next week on our show. Good night, everybody.
With news, talk, and community information.